Well, good morning. Let's turn to Ruth and chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. We're coming near the end of our study. And in the chapter 3, we have Boaz taking up the cause of Ruth. She has made her appeal to him that he might become her kinsman redeemer. And I have to say that Boaz was very ready and most anxious to help her in any way that he could. Ruth goes home again after meeting with Boaz to her mother-in-law, and in the verse 18, then said she, that is, it's Naomi speaking, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not rest until he have finished the thing this day. So the matter is now in the hands of Boaz. Ruth has made her appeal, and she's leaving the matter with him. Now, I want to apply what happened there in the threshing floor in the gospel. This appeal that is made by Ruth to Boaz for his help, for his kindness, for his intervention in her life, and of course in the life of Naomi, and his exercising the role of a kinsman redeemer. Now, he readily does. We must never forget that. Boys and girls, remember what it is we're doing here. We're looking for likenesses in the life, in the character of Boaz, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to stress that when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, then just as Boaz reacted to the request of Ruth, so the Lord will immediately say, yes, I'll help. Yes, I'll help. The Savior has given us words that, I suppose of all the Bible words, have been quoted more than any to those who are anxious about getting saved. It's the words, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And that spirit is shown here by Boaz. When Ruth came and made her appeal, Boaz instantly said, yes, I will help you. I'll attend to this matter right away. Verse 13, by the way, tells us that if you want to look at it, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Don't be worrying about it. I'll undertake for you. So there is that likeness to the Savior here in the actions of Boaz. But let me say something else that brings out the gospel in this portion. Ruth chose someone that others had passed by. I thought about this quite a bit. You see, Boaz was not a young man. He probably was a number of years older than Ruth. So he was a man unmarried, a man in whom other young women had shown no interest. And here he was now, I would be stepping out on a limb, as they say, were I to suggest to you what age he was, but it's very likely he was somewhere like 35, 40, even 45. He would be a number of years, quite a number of years older than Ruth. And obviously, he was not one that other young women had shown any interest in whatsoever. And so he was still a bachelor. But Ruth, she was more than willing that he become her kinsman redeemer. And she, of course, knew that that meant he would marry her, and marrying her, take on all responsibilities regarding her. So Ruth chose someone that others had passed by, and that's what everyone does who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you some word in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and the verse 3. And here it's speaking of the Lord Jesus. And the prophet tells us he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Do you know what that means? That's what people do when they meet on the street someone they don't want to speak to. They hide their face. Now, I don't mean that they put a bag over their head or anything of that nature. They simply turn away. They turn away their face. You can't see their face. They have turned away. And that's what people do regarding the Lord Jesus. Because he's despised by men, we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. It would appear that something of that rested upon Boaz. No young woman had shown any interest in him or encouraged his affections. But that was not how Ruth saw him. That's not how Ruth saw him. She lay down at his feet and she said, "Please, be my kinsman redeemer. Be my kinsman redeemer." You see there in the verse 10, he says to her, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter." And I think even the use of that term would suggest the fact that he's somewhat older than Ruth, my daughter. "For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor." Now she had been in the company of the young men in the field during the whole harvest period, but she saw no one that was, in her estimation, superior, better than Boaz. And that's what it is for the Christian. That's what it is for the Christian. We see in the Lord Jesus Christ what the world doesn't see. The world, looking at Christ, immediately turns away from him. They have no interest in him. They don't want to be associated with him. But not the Christian. Not the Christian. Rather, the Christian desires to take up the cross and follow the Savior. Here's how Peter puts it, if I might just give you this quotation, 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 7 of that chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 7 says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." He is precious. The Lord Jesus is most precious. And I have no doubt that during that period in which Ruth had spent laboring in the fields and observing Boaz, and doubtless occasionally talking to him, he became precious to her, and she chose one that others had passed by. Will you turn with me to the Song of Solomon? That's why we chose the little hymn that we did this morning, because it's based upon the Song of Solomon and the chapter 5. The Song of Solomon and the chapter 5, I'm going to read some verses to you. And these are verses that picture for us the love of the Christian for the Lord Jesus and the answer of the Christian to the world. When the world says, "What do you see in Christ? What do you see in this gospel religion?" Verse 9, Song of Solomon, chapter 5. "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou hast so charged us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl, his belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." That's the record of how the Christian sees the Lord Jesus, set forth like a parable here. What is thy beloved more than another? And in response to that, the young woman begins to describe her beloved, and she starts at his head. And she travels right down his body, down to his feet, and then back again to his head. And there's no imperfection in him. So it is with the Lord Jesus. That's not how the world sees him. Sure it's not. That's not how the world sees him. The world shouts out, he's a blasphemer. The world shouts out, he's a liar and a deceiver. The world shouts out, he's a devil. But the child of God says he is altogether lovely. That's because our eyes have been opened, and we have been permitted to see the Lord Jesus as the world cannot see him. So Ruth makes a choice, and her choice is not at all the choice of the world. She picks one, she picks a man to be her Redeemer who has been passed by, it would appear, by many others. Well, I'm just going to quickly press home two other points on you while we have a minute or two. I want you to notice that Boaz was known to be a man of action. Having committed her cause to Boaz, and he having responded to her, leave it with me, you discover in the verse 18 how her mother-in-law Naomi says, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Be assured, Ruth, Boaz will act. He'll not fool around, but even this day he will take up the matter and he will finish it this day. He was a man of action. He was a man of his word. He would keep his word and keep it most expeditiously. Do you know what the Bible says about the Lord? There are many verses that would set forth what it is I want to set before you, but I'm going to choose a verse that's very well known to you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. He will make it happen. And that's the blessed assurance the sinner has. If you come to the Lord, he'll not pass you by. He'll not ignore you, but he will take up your cause and swiftly deal with it and bring deliverance and blessing to you. One other thing I want you to notice that reminds us of the Lord Jesus here and the actions of Boaz. He publicly owns Ruth as his. He goes through the custom, the form that is required of one who wishes to become the kinsman redeemer of a person applying to him. If you look there, please, at chapter 4, you will read the whole procedure of claiming Ruth. And the form was to call the leaders, the elders of the area, and proclaim his intentions. Now, there was another relative who actually stood a little closer to Ruth than Boaz. He was slightly more closely related to Ruth than Boaz. So he had first option. And Boaz says, I'll deal with this. I'll go to this man and I'll challenge him. Will you become the kinsman redeemer? And the man at first says, oh yes, because he had the eye on the lands that belonged to Naomi, to Naomi's husband, and the sons, the family estate, as it were, which had been sold off when they moved to Moab. And now that Ruth and Naomi were back in Israel, they didn't have the money to redeem their own land. So this land was there for the kinsman redeemer to redeem. And this man who stood in a closer relationship to Naomi and to Ruth than Boaz, he said, oh yes, I'll do that. He had an eye on the land. And Boaz says, be it known unto you, the day you do that, you also take Ruth to be your wife. And the man hadn't thought of that. Oh, really? Well, I'll forego that. I think he would be saying, I have a wife at home and I don't think she'd be too pleased if I took home another wife. So he said, no, I'll pass it up. And then Boaz stepped in and he claims Ruth for his own. In chapter 4, the verse 9, Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech, all the lands and the debts. I'll take it all on. And all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Ye are witnesses this day. So twice he says, you're witnesses. I'm publicly taking Ruth, be my wife. And boys and girls, I cannot emphasize enough that when you become a Christian, very publicly, the Lord Jesus Christ owns you as his. He owns you as his. Publicly. Before everyone, he owns you as his. You will find many examples of this in the Bible. Perhaps one of the best known is the example of the three Hebrew children. They weren't much thought of. They displeased the old Babylonian king by not bowing down before his God. They said, we'll not do it. All right, he said, I'll throw you into the fire and I'll burn you. And he had them thrown into the furnace, which had been heated hotter than usual. And in that furnace they were joined by the Lord Jesus. To the astonishment of the king, they didn't burn. And there was one like unto the Son of God there with them. And I tell you this, for the Christian, in life's journey, the Savior will ever stand with them publicly. But even more so, will he stand with them in eternity. It's something I have often pondered and often thought about. That glorious day when Jesus comes again, and he will gather to himself his people, and he will own them. These are mine. These are mine. Despised by the world and mocked for their witness, for their faith, they're mine. And in some wonderful way that's, I suppose, not really comprehensible to us, I often, and I'm sure you've seen it, on the television, where there's a news conference and the political leaders there, and all around them is gathered their supporters, and everybody's trying to get their head into the picture. I always have to laugh at that, trying to wiggle themselves so that they're seen. You see how I know the leader? And of course, not everybody can be there in the front row. But when Jesus comes again and gathers his people to himself, I don't know how, but he'll gather you to himself. You will have a personal, wonderful encounter with him. You'll not be someone in the back row. You'll not be standing far away, hardly noticed. No! He will gather you. You might not count yourself much, and maybe many others don't count you as much, but he will gather you because he redeemed you by his blood. You're precious to him. And we will, each one, wonderfully, stand there in the presence of the Lord, and he will own us. Just as Boaz witnessed that day, I have taken Ruth to be my wife. It's a wonderful thing, boys and girls, to belong to Jesus. We like to sing that hymn, Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Tell me, do you belong to Jesus? Do you? Is he yours? He may be today. You have but to ask him. Ruth appealed to Boaz to become her kinsman redeemer. And he said, I will. And I'll deal with this matter right away. And so he did. And the next day, the whole country heard, she's mine. Oh, that you would come to Christ and be his today. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, write your word on our hearts. Grant your blessing upon this word. Apply it with power to the hearts of boys and girls. And if there's any not yet belonging to him, they have not yet come to him, Lord, bring them to thyself today. Let them hear thy voice calling them. Bless the whole school, the staff, the teachers, the parents, the homes. May it be seen that God owns us, and God associates himself with us, and that we are his. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.